Well, happy Easter to everyone. We are glad that you're here. If you're online, thanks for being with us today. This Easter season is such a beautiful season, and although there's a lot that's gone on, right, historically, even in this last week that Jesus walked through, today we gather, there's one over here as well, today we gather and we celebrate our risen Savior, amen? Died on the cross, suffered, right? But then Sunday came, right? And Jesus came out of that tomb, resurrected, living life. And today we get to gather as Rockside Church. We get to gather in churches across the nation. And we are celebrating Jesus Christ risen. Amen? That's a lot to celebrate, church, right? There are a lot of other religions who pray to gods that their gods are still in the buried ground, right? The God that we pray to, Jesus Christ, is alive today, right? No longer in the grave. And so today, we're going to talk about that. We're going to celebrate that. And as we do that, we're going to look at it from a little bit of a different vantage point. And I hope that and pray that the Lord will be speaking to you today. His word is living and active. And so I promise you that his word is going to minister to you. But let's just take a moment and let's pray and let's get our hearts ready to receive what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity on this Resurrection Sunday to gather together, to be able to celebrate with family and friends. But God, most importantly, be able to honor and celebrate you as risen Lord. You are not dead. You're not buried in the ground. You are alive. And Lord, we thank you that we serve a risen Savior who we can talk to on a daily basis. And you hear and you care and you see us. So much so that you sent Jesus, right, to be Emmanuel, God with us. So Lord, as we get into the message this morning, open our hearts. Open our ears. If we've heard an Easter message 1,000 times, God, today, open our hearts to what you're speaking to us individually. Father, there might be some in this room that have been far away from you. Maybe they've ran from you. Today is the day to come home. And so, Lord, I just pray in your grace and in your mercy and in your love and in your forgiveness. God, you will just call us all back to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus, and God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this sanctuary today in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we get to celebrate the most powerful moment in history. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, conquered sin. Amen, right? Conquered sin. Defeated death. Amen. Whew. And then rose again. That's no small thing. It's not just ancient history, but it's his story and it's our story. Amen. Because he lives, we have hope for today and strength for tomorrow. You know the song, because he lives, then I can face tomorrow. That's not just a cliche. That is the power that comes from Jesus Christ's death and then his resurrection. It's no small feat to be dead and come back to life, right? That's no small feat. Jesus did it with Lazarus. His friend Lazarus was sick. He heard about it. He didn't go right away. It was 4 days when he arrived on the scene, and Mary and Martha were distressed because their brother had passed away. But Jesus, the Son of God, called out Lazarus out of that grave and came out of his grave clothes back to life. Jesus was doing those miracles before he even himself, God, raised him from the dead. Amazing, amazing. This is the God we serve. But before he rose from the dead, sin had been silenced. I'm sorry, before. Because he rose, we have a promise of eternal life. Sin has been silenced, shame has been lifted, and the enemy defeated forever. Some of you need to hear that today. The enemy in your soul, the one that tries to tell you lies, he's defeated. Why are you letting him run all over you? Take authority over that. Take captive. Jesus already won, defeated the enemy at the cross and by resurrecting. This is the victory we celebrate today. This is Resurrection Sunday. And although that is the focus of today, I want to take us on a little bit of a different journey. As I was praying, every year pastors across the nation have to preach And I say have to, meaning we get to an Easter message, right? The thing is, the gospel of the Easter message, it doesn't change, right? The story is the same. And sometimes it can be challenging to bring what God are you saying in this same story in a new and fresh way. And as I was away and spending some time praying this last week, the Lord brought me to the conversation on the cross on the Friday when Jesus was hanging. And there were two people beside him. And it just really impacted me. So today we're going to take a moment. We're going to look at that conversation on the cross that Jesus had with the two thieves. Before the stone was rolled away, before the women found the empty tomb, before the risen Jesus walked out of the grave, there was a moment, all right? A quiet, powerful moment between a dying Savior and two dying thieves. So turn with me in your scripture to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to take a look at this account, this story, this historical fact that happened, and you're going to see how Jesus responded to these two individuals. And you might see yourself in one of these two individuals as Jesus has this conversation, as Jesus has this encounter with these two thieves. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and we'll start at verse 32. You guys good? All right, you got your device, and it should be on the screen as well, so we should be good. All right, verse 32 says, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him, meaning Jesus. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, very famous words of Jesus, Father, forgive them. Of course, he's talking to the ones that are crucifying him, the ones that want him dead. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Verse 35 says, the crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too, by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine being a friend of Jesus, a mother of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, and watching this go on? All the accusations, he had of course been beat 39 times, unrecognizable. You know he's perfect. You know who he is, what he's been sent to do, and yet you're having to watch him be crucified because that's God's will and plan to redeem all of mankind. I can't imagine being at that scene. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's just pause there for a minute. Envision the scene. Envision that conversation. Three men hung on crosses that day. Two were guilty. One was innocent. Two were condemned by the law. One came to fulfill the law. Two faced death, and one would defeat it. But in this sacred moment, we see not just punishment, but possibility. Not just judgment, but we see grace. You see, the Romans used crucifixion as a punishment because it was very painful, it was slow, and it was a public way to die. You see, they wanted it to scare people and show that what could happen if you broke the law. For serious crimes like rebellion or stealing or you know, being a slave that ran away. They wanted it to be public. It really wasn't even about killing somebody. It was about making an example out of so that others would be too afraid to do the same thing. And here's the thing about crucifixion. We all know, we've seen the Passion of the Christ, or we've seen other movies, right? They nail them with these huge spikes in their feet, so much so where their legs are bent. And as they're hanging there, they don't so much die from the agonizing pain of having spikes through their body, but they die because they can only every so often push up and get a breath of air. And eventually they just suffocate. Can you imagine that cruel death? And here, you know, the people that we talked about Palm Sunday last week, right? Hosanna, Hosanna, those same people towards the end of the week were the ones that were saying, crucify, crucify, we want Jesus, this man to be crucified. Even so, they chose Barabbas, who was a known criminal who had done terrible things. There was an option to choose him, to release him, or to release Jesus, and yet they still crucify Jesus. We understand, obviously, the scripture and the Old Testament talked about these things had to happen. Jesus had to fulfill these prophecies so that we could be redeemed, right? God's will had to walk itself out. The Garden of Gethsemane, even Jesus himself, who knew the plan. He knew the plan. He knew he was the sacrificial lamb. But in his humanness, as he prayed to God, said, Lord, if there's any way possible that this cup could be delivered from me. And then, of course, we know the end of the story. He says, but your will be done. He knew that God's will was to send him to earth. God had to give his son so that we could be redeemed, so that Jesus could pay the price for our sin. And Jesus willingly went to the cross for us. There's a couple thoughts from this conversation and experience on the cross with these thieves. First thing is this: you can be close to Jesus and still miss him. These two thieves were close to the Savior, the Messiah. One of them missed him. The other one got it, right? But guys, same with us. You can come to church. You can be around people who pray and read their Bible. You can know knowledge and still miss the transformative power of what Jesus offers. Let's not allow that to happen to us. The first thief mocked Jesus. He was filled with bitterness and pride and hate. Even in his final breath, his heart remained hard. He said, save yourself and us too. The second thief was different. Something had shifted in him. He watched Jesus suffer with dignity. He heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. He saw the compassion and the grace and the mercy that Jesus could give to those that were causing him all of this pain. The thief watched all of that, and it changed him. He felt the weight of eternity pressing in, and in that moment of clarity, he feared God. He admitted what many of us struggle to confess. He said, we deserve this, but he doesn't. Guys, that's our story. We deserved death on a cross. We deserved to die for our sins, but Jesus gratefully and thankfully paid that price for us. That's repentance. When we own our guilt, we recognize the sin in our lives, and then we turn around and we go the opposite direction. Not only can you be close to Jesus and still miss him, the other thing is that it's not too late for grace. It's never too late. This story of the thieves proves that. The thief had nothing to offer Jesus. No chance to clean up his act. No religious resume. He didn't even get time to get baptized. Couldn't go to a discipleship class. Wasn't in a life group. No good deeds to point to. He had nothing. Nothing other than a resume of guilt and shame and the reason why he was getting killed, right? He had nothing. All he had was a dying heart and a desperate plea that said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't ask for a miracle. He didn't beg for rescue. He simply asked to be remembered. You see, the thief knew he had no time to clean up his life and prove himself, which we often think it's about proving ourselves to God. He was moments from death. All he could do was ask for Jesus to remember him. It wasn't based on his worth, but it was based on Jesus' mercy. Remember me. Don't forget me. Don't leave me out. Please let me in. Right? That was his plea. This wasn't theology. This was just personal. The thief didn't ask Jesus to remember people like me or even sinners in general. He said, remember me. Personal relationship. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be known and accepted by Jesus himself. Again, guys, realize this is all on a cross as they're in agonizing pain, bleeding out, beaten, and in the process of dying. This is what's going on. If you've ever wondered God's love for you, look at his love for the thief on the cross as he's talking to him and sharing with him. I mean, goodness, he could have been thinking about a whole lot of other things. But here was someone who was wanting to be known and wanting to go to heaven, and Jesus was like, absolutely, you will be with me in paradise. What a beautiful example of our risen Savior, the God that we serve, the God that we were just singing about and singing to. He is alive today. He not only died, but he rose again. And that power lives in us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that resurrection power is in you. Sin can be defeated in your life. Shame can be broken off of your life. Addictions can be gone in the name of Jesus. All of those things he died on the cross for. We decide if we're going to walk around being labeled by that or if we're going to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us of that. Amen? He wanted relationship. What are you here for today? Are you here because you want relationship with Jesus? I hope so. And Jesus' response was just so beautiful. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not someday, not when you, hey, come back when you got some things cleaned up. He said today. It was immediate. He didn't have to prove himself. So what does that mean for us, right? Historical story, an account of history that happened, changed history, right? But how does that apply to us? I got a couple thoughts, and if you're taking notes, the first one is this: salvation is not earned, it's received. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation into eternity. Jesus Christ paid the price for it, and he offers it as a free gift. A free gift. All you have to do is receive it. There's an illustration I want to read. It says this: imagine two people receive the same gift, wrapped with care, priceless inside, and offered freely. One looks at the gift and scoffs and says, I don't want it. I didn't ask for this. I don't need your charity. And he tosses it aside. The other opens it up with trembling hands. He knows he doesn't deserve it. He's blown away by the generosity. And though he did nothing to earn it, he clutches it to his chest and says, thank you. You see, that's exactly what happened on the hill of Golgotha for these two thieves, right? They hung beside Jesus, equally close in distance, equally guilty, and equally broken. But one saw Jesus for who he truly was. One accepted the gift of grace being offered in that moment. The other rejected it. They were both dying. One died in his sin. The other died forgiven and woke up in paradise. The difference wasn't their behavior or their background. One opened the gift and the other left it unopened. And that's the challenge for us here today. Will you open the gift that Jesus has given, the gift of salvation, or will you leave it unopened? That's not for me. And that's the challenge for you today as we're here, as we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Romans 3:23 is very clear. We got that on the screen. For everyone has sinned. Right? So that's just not a few of us, right? Everyone has sinned and we fall short of God's glorious standard. And that's just not like one time. Right? Right? That's why we have to continuously come back to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, because we all fall short a lot. But thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. We don't abuse sin. Of course, we don't do things on purpose because we're like, oh, we can be forgiven. But everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember that when you're dealing with people in your life. Remember that, right? None of us are perfect. And God has poured out the grace that we don't deserve. So therefore, we should offer that to others, no matter the cost, right? It was given to us, and we must freely give it to other people. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The free gift. I know it's crazy to think people would reject that, but they do, and they will. But we're going to keep talking about it. Jesus is going to keep offering it, right? There will come a day, though. You know the story of Noah, right? Jesus sent 40 days of rain. And before that, he said to Noah, get all the animals, right? And then there was a point where he shut the ark. And no longer could anything or anyone be saved. It was over. And Jesus was going to destroy the earth with a flood. There's coming a day where, in a sense, the ark will be shut. There'll be no more opportunity for people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because he's going to come in the clouds and we're going to be resurrected up to heaven. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The thief believed. He confessed. That's all he could do. He was dying. And he received the same eternal promise that's available to all of us. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to earn salvation. You just have to receive it. The second lesson or thought is this. Repentance is the doorway to relationship. The thief acknowledged who Jesus was, the King, the risen Savior. That's what repentance is. It's not perfection, but it's a new direction. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin, right, and results in salvation. Repentance is the doorway. We need to look at our own heart and our own life and ask ourselves those questions. What's in the way? What's distracting us? What's keeping us from relationship with Jesus? Some of you in here, you might have a relationship with Jesus, but you've just been on the fence. You've been doing your own thing. You know about God. Today is a day to get yourself recommitted. Recommit yourself to living fully for him. Amen? The third thought is this. Jesus saves us personally and immediately. He said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's huge. Salvation isn't just about avoiding hell, people. It's about being with Jesus. And his promise isn't delayed. He doesn't put us on spiritual probation. He saves us fully, completely, and immediately. All right? Now, yes, there's a process of that we learn and work things out, absolutely, in discipleship. The Holy Spirit will clean us up. It's not other people's job to clean us up. Right? We allow that to happen as the Holy Spirit does his work. Right. But the moment you say yes to Jesus, that's immediate. You're part of the family. Your eternity is yours. It's a beautiful thing. You receive it. He saves us fully, completely, and immediately. I don't know about you guys, but that is just beautiful. Aren't you thankful for our risen Savior? Amen. The fourth thing is this: resurrection power changes just a few things. Everything. It changes everything. The question is, why aren't you letting it? You can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. You can have as much of his grace and his power as you want. We're the ones that either get really close to the cross or we go far away, right? His arms are open wide. He wants everybody to be close, but we're the ones that determine that. Resurrection power changes everything. Some of you in here today, you've got stuff in your life. You need God to change that. He is available. Will you allow him in? Will you once and for all surrender, lay down those things that have held you bound? Say, Jesus, I surrender all. Come in my life, cleanse me, heal me, break me, whatever it takes. The thief may have died that day, but when he closed his eyes, he opened them in glory. The cross became his doorway to paradise. And the resurrection is our guarantee that death doesn't have to be the final word. Amen. We're only here, the Bible says, our life is but a mist. We're here for, who knows, some people are 50, 70, 80 years, 100. I mean, nobody knows. But we have a purpose while you're here. There's a purpose. If you have breath in your lungs, God has plans for your life, for your good. Not to do your own thing, but to do his will and plan. Which is really seek the lost, right? Disciple people, help them to find Jesus. That's what it's all about. Romans 8:11 says this, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. It lives in each of us." The Spirit of God, I want that to sink in today, right now, lives in us. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you may have seen this online. Alistair Begg shares a little bit of a snippet in a conversation. He's talking about the thieves on the cross. And I love this line he got to. And he said, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." He talks about the two thieves and gives kind of a scenario. If the one thief, when he got to heaven, you know, what could that have been like? You know, maybe Peter or some of the angels are like, "Why are you here, thief?" You know? And he's like, "I don't know. I just... you know, I'm here." And, you know, he could have asked a bunch of different questions. You know, "Did you pray this prayer? Or did you go to this class?" He's like, "No, I just, you know, just received." And I love that he says the answer, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." You know, if you were to die tonight and God asked you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? Here's a challenge. If your answer starts with anything like, "Because I..." We got it all wrong, because there's nothing any of us can do, have done to receive. The only answer is because of Jesus and what Jesus has done. Amen? It's his power that raised Jesus from the dead. So we had two thieves and one Savior. Two thieves hung beside Jesus. Same distance, same experience, two different responses. One rejected, one repented. One died in sin, the other died forgiven. So let me ask you this today. Which thief are you? The truth is we're all guilty, right? We've said that. We've all fallen short. But one thief reminds us it's never too late to turn to Jesus. It's never too late. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Indeed, the right time is now." Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. If you feel like the second thief today, maybe broken, unworthy, maybe at the end of yourself, Jesus' invitation to you is just come. Just come. Come as you are. The cross proves God's love. The empty tomb proves his power. And the Savior still says, "You will be with me." That is, if you decide to say yes to Jesus.